Well, thank you for the introduction. It's truly a privilege and a joy to be here this morning. Don't you appreciate to be in the house of the Lord more than you have appreciated a year ago? Or maybe not a year ago, we already appreciated it, but before COVID started. We have learned. Because before we have given this for granted, we have taken for granted. But now we understand that this can be taken away from us very quickly. And to be together, there is something to be physically together. What do you say? Yes, Zoom is good. We're praising God for that, that even though we had to shut our churches down, we could still gather in some way, shape or form, but you can only take so much Zoom. After a time, you just feel like I need to be there in person. Well, as was said, my name is Oleg, and I was born in ex-USSR, Moldova, a little republic of Moldova between Ukraine and Romania. When I was almost 16, I went to England, lived for 4 years in England, then 4 years in Canada, and then moved to Argentina. And in Argentina, I found that beautiful, beautiful girl that today is a mother, the mother of our four kids. And so 12 years in Argentina, and now 4 years here in the United States. And we are praising God because God is good. And I'd like to invite Karen and the kids, if they can come here. We'd like to have a little part together before Daddy preaches. And we'll use these mics as well. Yaro, this is for you, and that one is for Mommy or Anya. Maybe you can guys sing together. Okay. There's one down there. Okay, can you run and get it so that mommy can have one as well? So there is a song, there is a hymn that we love. Well, there are two hymns that we love, and especially this young guy. Actually, let me present them. Come this way, guys. Maybe come a little more this way, Karen as well. You guys come here so that the pulpit wouldn't cover you. So here we have Yarrow. Yara is 7 years old. Then Anya. Anya is four. And then Ian. Ian is 2 years old. And Yana. Yana is 14 months old. And Karen. And she's a little more months than Yana. So we are happily married almost 12 years now. Almost 12 years. So God has been very good. Thank you. Thank you. And if we would ask Ian what hymn he would like to sing, he would say either This Is the Day or You Will See the Lord Coming. But today we chose to sing one of the favorites, which is In Times Like This. Mommy, you start. And we'll
In times like this, you need a Savior. In times like this, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the soul.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you, Karen. In times like we live, we need a rock. We need something to lean on that will never change. We have learned that everything can change. Even a country that has been a symbol of freedom for many, many years can go through its challenges. And there are many changes that U.S. is experiencing lately. The only one who will never change, who will always love us, is that rock, which is Jesus. What do you say? He's the one that we want to talk about today. And Jesus loves us so much that he had searched for you and he had brought you from the darkness to his marvelous light. And I'm so thankful for that. I have been away from the light for almost 11 years in the darkness of this world. And those of you who have been in the darkness of this world, you know that there is nothing good out there. There is no happiness. Everything that people and young people think that it's nice and attractive out there, once you get it and once you experience it, you see it that it's a misery. It's an emptiness. But with Jesus, there is peace. With Jesus, there is that joy that you have it even in the midst of trials and difficult times. And Jesus brought you to his marvelous light. And because of his love, Jesus has a special warning for the church and for the world. And because Jesus loves the world so much, he doesn't want anyone to perish. That's why Jesus wants to present to the world and say, I want to save you. The world is going on the wrong path, quick to destruction. And unfortunately, the Bible says that wide is the path to destruction, and narrow is the way to salvation. So where do we have more people? More people are going to destruction, or more people are going towards salvation? People are going fast towards destruction. And now my question is, if you would know that there is a railroad track that ends up in the precipice, and that train will just drop down, and you have the last stop, the last station before the train just will run into that precipice, and you know about it, and you are at that station, would you tell something to those people in that train, yes or not? Or would he say, well, you know what? I'm here. I'm okay. I'm not in the train. Would you be just like, get out! Get out! This is your last opportunity. Get out! This is exactly what the Lord is doing through the three angels' messages. The three angels' messages is the last opportunity that the world has to repent. And God gave you and I this awesome opportunity to be his messengers and to tell people, get out and come to the Lord. The only sure way, the only rock, the only anchor that will hold you securely. I want to, before we go into the message itself, I would like, if we can put the PowerPoint, I don't know if that, oh yes, thank you, brother. I would like to present, the Lord impressed me last year to start a special mission. Let's try and see if this works. Is it up or down?
Down.
Down, this is on. And going down. Okay. So, last year, when the lockdown started, I'm a literature evangelist. I'm a pastor, but my calling, God has called me to literature evangelism. What is that? Those who don't know what literature evangelist is, someone who is selling books door to door. Going, knocking on the door, saying, here I have some wonderful books. Is that an easy or a difficult job? It's a difficult job. Is it easy to go door to door? You know, in order to sell one book, maybe about 20 people have to throw that door into your nose. And say, what are you doing here? And say, well, I came here actually to offer you some books on health, physical, mental, or spiritual health. I don't need any books. May God bless you. And you go to the next door. So like that, but God has called me. I just fell in love with this ministry, with literature evangelism. Because I have seen so many people changed and transformed because of a book. Do you know any people who have been changed because of the book? I say everyone here was changed because of the book. Does God believe in the printed page? Here is the proof. Here's the proof that God really believes in the printed page. He left all the plan of salvation where? Printed on a page. Let me ask you, how strong is a page? Is it strong? It's very weak. You could easily tear it apart, destroy it. It can be destroyed by fire. It can be destroyed by water. It can be destroyed by anything. It's very fragile. But God chose a weak instrument to deliver eternal truth. And guess what? That's a good news for you and for me, because God has chosen a weak vessel like me to deliver eternal truth. God is choosing a weak vessel like you are to deliver to the world eternal truth. What do you say? That's just so amazing. So I love literature evangelism. So last year, God had impressed me when everything shut down. I said, people out there, when they were asking, what's going on? You know, and all of a sudden, everybody was interested in prophecies, in Bible prophecies. And I said, we need to take the book, The Great Controversy, out to people. And in the midst of the lockdown, I put my mask on and I started going door to door, knocking on the doors, giving people away, giving just a gift, A Great Controversy. And I was expecting, when I went to the first doors, I was expecting that people will say, what are you doing here? It's COVID. But I have noticed exact opposite. The people were so open, and they would start talking and asking what the book is about, and they would start saying, I'm looking for a church that preaches the Bible and the prophecies. And I said, whoa, people are really needing this. So God impressed me, and God said, well, then don't do it just yourself. Engage others as well to do it so that more people can get this book. And then I started sharing the testimony in different churches, and then all of a sudden we had few churches who decided to cover the entire city with the book, every home one book. And then God impressed me and said, not only few cities, the entire U.S. should receive that book. So we opened a new ministry called Streams of Light International. You see it there on the screen. Streams of Light, you can go to the webpage streamsoflight.net, streamsoflight.net. And over there, what we did, right now our goal is, of this nonprofit, is to cover the entire North American division, every home with this book, by 2026. So in 5 years, more than 149 million households have to be covered. Is that an ambitious goal? Only He can do it. That's why we love goals, big goals like that, because you know that humanly it's impossible, and then you know that the only one that can do it is Him, and then who do you seek for? Him. Because without Him, this is just going to be a nice plan, but it's going to just end up there. So what we did, the Lord impressed, and we developed a new great controversy. We developed a new great controversy that has QR codes by every chapter Because, you know, today not many people are willing to read. People are more inclined to what? Videos. So people will scan the QR code and it will lead them to videos related to the chapter in the Great Controversy. Then we developed an app that when people decide to distribute the Great Controversy, when they leave a book at the door or give the book in hands, they just push a button on their phone and it leaves a record that the book was left in that home. And it will show where in U.S. the book is being distributed and what's left. So that's a tool there. Let's just watch this video, this short video.
Jesus is coming soon, and he's been completely misrepresented. We want to fix that by taking the Great Controversy to all 380 million people in America. Here's the thing. This world is almost out of time. Now more than ever, people need to hear a message of Christ's soon return and what God is really like. But reaching 380 million people is hard. How do we reach every one of them? Well, we found a way. We developed a turnkey system for local churches to be able to put a Great Controversy in every home in America. Local leaders from churches will be able to access easy training materials to put together an effective distribution outreach in their local area. It starts by signing up at streamsoflight.net. You'll get a turnkey solution with everything you need for reaching your neighbors. We've done all the work of planning, mapping, and creating easy training sessions that can be done in less than 30 minutes. Now you might be thinking, this sounds impossible. 380 million people? I mean, we can't even reach a small portion of that. Actually, it's not that hard. If only 5% of Adventists participated, we would have this done in 6 years. I mean, come on, we ought to at least be able to get 144,000 people to help. You'll even have an app which helps you log your progress and see how close you are to finishing your goal. To make it even simpler, we've partnered with Pacific Press to make a new modern-looking Great Controversy, which has QR codes embedded in each chapter, which will connect readers with online audio, visual, and study content. It even comes with a free health magazine. So what are you waiting for? If you want an easy way to get your church members out into the community and reach 380 million people, go to streamsoflight.net today and sign up.
Okay, so that's something that the Lord has called me to do. And that's something that the Lord had inspired many churches in Central California already. Shafter Church have heard about this and they said, wow, we want to be part of this. And a humble Hispanic lady said, I think our church needs it. And she went back to her church and she said, let's do something for our town. Let's go door to door. And they just finished, a few weeks ago, they just finished the entire city, every home, a book. So then the church in Porterville, then the church in Bakersfield, then many churches just jumped on this and they said, we want to do that too. Because we want, in the judgment day, we don't want any neighbors to come and say, if you knew it, why didn't you tell us? We want to do everything for our neighbors, whatever we can. We want to keep the church open for them. We want to air on the internet. We want to go to their doors. We want to do everything for them. Is that right? Let me just share something else. I'm a part of a... this is just as well for you to pray about. We're planning for next year a mission trip to this island right here, St. Pierre and Miquelon. It's off the island of, let me see here, Newfoundland. Newfoundland, Canada here. You see Quebec City. So Newfoundland. And this is the island where we'd be going. The island has 6,800 inhabitants. We're planning to go there with a group of about 20 people. And in 3 days to cover the entire island, every home, a book. And we'll be connecting because there is no Adventist church there. There's no Adventist church there. So we'll be connecting them. We'll be giving them tools that they, through internet, through their cell phone, they can connect to churches like this that have online services, that they can be a part of a service. What do you say? So pray about this. And if God inspires you, go on Streams of Light. We don't quite have Streams of Light ready yet because officially, everything starts September 1. officially our program starts September 1. So I'm sharing with you something before it officially started. But after September 1, online, you'll be able to log in and register to distribute books here or for the mission trip. We'll have a mission trip to another mission trip next year to Falkland Islands. This is Argentina, and Falkland Islands are about 300 miles off the shore of Argentina. They belong to England. Everybody speaks English, and there are about 5,000 people on those islands. We'll go there in a few days, cover the entire island with the book as well. What do you say? Do they deserve to know the truth about who God really is and what his plan is and what Satan's plan is and let them choose whom they want to follow? Do you think those people there deserve to know it? Do you think God loves them same way that he does love you? Is God waiting for someone to go to them and tell them about his love? God will have many people from U.S. going to different islands around the world, islands especially that don't have Adventist presence on them. So we'll be going to set up a torch there so that can illuminate that island. Anyway, I'm a part of this ministry as well, revivalplan.com. This ministry is about scripture memorization. If you want to memorize scripture, you can log in there to revivalplan.com. And as well, if you want to read the testimonies or listen to the testimonies in audio, every morning you'll be receiving 10 pages of the testimonies to the church in audio that you'd be able, while you're driving to work or exercising or working, whatever, you can listen to the testimonies. It has been such a blessing to me. And also, I'm a part of GLOW, and you know, many of you know GLOW Ministry. This is so easy. These are little booklets that you can take with you in the pocket and share with them in the community. Share with them in the grocery store. So just share the truth with people. Share the light and hope with people. So get involved and enjoy, because it's such a joy to be used by God, isn't it? It's such a joy to be used by Him. Anyway, it's late now. My message is probably going to be overtime. Are you okay with overtime? Not really. Not really. I know my wife isn't. She tells me always think about the parents with kids. So I have to think about that. Today's message is the final warning. So it's going to be half an hour from now. Okay? Because everything before it was just preliminaries. Is that okay? It's probably half an hour already. You're probably looking at the watch and say, we want to go home. The final warning. It was 2004, December 26. Beautiful, beautiful, almost like paradise-like beaches there in Indonesia. People were enjoying nice. Would you like to enjoy something like that? Oh, I'm telling you, I need something like that. I've been working without vacation for a few years now. And so they were enjoying everything, but all of a sudden at 7:30 a.m., something horrible happened. 7:30 something, and then 20 minutes later, a huge tsunami hit the island. You remember that? How many people died there? More than 230,000 people died. So the question was, the scientists were asking, how come so many people had to die of a tsunami? Yes, that was a reality back in the day. But today we have all these alarms and warnings that would give you a warning and it would give you enough time to run to high places. Why didn't the alarm sound? What happened? What happened was that the alarm system, the warning system, they had never finished it. They had the prototype. They started working. Actually, U.S. was involved with it as well. U.S. gave money to Indonesia to set that alarm system, but they never finished it. They ran out of money, and they left it unfinished. So what happened as a result of that? More than 230,000 lives were lost. And when you talk about 230,000 lives, it's hard, it's bad. But what if one of your children would have been there? Would that bother you that they didn't have that alarm system, that warning system? What if your mother, your father, your brother would be there? Because you know how it works. People die, yeah, they die every day. If they're not related to me, not close to me, oh, well, too bad. But when it comes very close to us, then it really touches us. Just imagine, you are God's child, and those people that died there were God's children too. And God is looking at everyone here in San Jose, and God says, they're my children. I want to warn them. I want to warn them so that the tsunami that's coming wouldn't take them. And what's the tsunami that's coming over this on this world? Is the great deception that Satan is preparing. Are we told about that in the scripture? The scripture says that Satan will come clothed as an angel of light. And as an angel of light, he'll be preaching from the Bible. And he'll try to take away even the elect ones. So the huge tsunami is coming on this world, the tsunami of counterfeit, of fake gospel. And the people out there, they just enjoy life. Some more, some less, but they're just cruising through life without knowing that the tsunami is coming. The alarm should be sounded that people would know. And what system does God use to warn people? Well, before we go there, let's just read this. Let's keep going. Let's read this quotation. Transgression has almost reached its limits. Its limit. Confusion fills the world. And a great terror is soon to come upon the upon human beings. The end is very near. We who know the truth should be preparing for it soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. Let me ask you, what did tsunami come as an overwhelming surprise there in Indonesia? People were enjoying the beach, enjoying in their hotel room on the swimming pool. And those waves, they say that some waves were reaching up to 100 feet tall. They came and just swept everything there. What's coming on this world is a lot bigger than the tsunami in Indonesia. It's going to sweep not a lot more than 230,000 lives. It's going to sweep almost 7 billion people. What is God's warning system? How does God, is God trying to warn the world? Isaiah 62:6. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace, day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. So what's God's warning system? God's people on the walls of Zion. What did the watchmen on the walls of Zion were supposed to do? When they would see a danger coming, an enemy coming, they would sound the trumpet and say, get ready, get ready, get ready, the enemy is coming. Did God warn us that the enemy is coming? Like a roaring lion. Are we sounding the warning? Or are we like that warning system in Indonesia that has started to work, that it has been left there? The Bible actually describes us in chapter 3 of Revelation. It describes us as the church of Laodicea. And Laodicea is what? Lukewarm. What does that mean? Comfortable. It's all good. It's all good. Trouble comes and trouble goes. Trouble comes and trouble goes, like the waves. But there is a huge wave coming. The world needs to know it. So how do we sound that alarm? God's watchmen are to stand on the walls of Zion and to give the warning. The morning comes and also the night when no man can work. What does that say? That says that we still have time to work. But there comes a time when you would not be able to sound the trumpet anymore. When no one will be able to warn anyone because they will take away the possibility of transmitting truth through internet, through TV, because of censorship that will be taken away. Now is the time to do it. Now is the time to go door to door. There will come a time very soon when you will not be able to go and knock on somebody's door. Very, very soon. The time to do all of that is when? But we are so busy doing our stuff because we need to pay our bills. And that's a reality. We need to raise our kids. We need to pay for the tuition of the kids. We need to do so many things. Our calling, God has called you and I to be the watchmen on the walls of Zion. But the watchmen got distracted with all the things. The Bible says, actually the spirit of prophecy says, God through Ellen White, that Satan is trying to magnify for us, for you and I, things that are small to magnify them, and those things that are important to minimize them. So to us, our main concern is how to survive COVID-19. Maybe for you not, but for people in the world, that's, we know, we want to survive. What's more dangerous, to die physically or to die spiritually? If you die physically, but you're in connection with God, are you in good shape? Yes, yes. The next thing you'll see is Jesus returning. And you'll see Jesus face to face. Is that a good news? What will happen to a person that dies and does not know Jesus, or did know but did not accept Jesus? What will happen to that person? The next thing that person will see is Jesus' face as well. But that will not be a good news. So the world is concerned how to survive COVID crisis. God is concerned how to save the world from its spiritual death. And the sad news is that even the church, as it's described in Revelation chapter 3, the majority of the church is sick spiritually. And unfortunately, the church looks at itself and says, I'm okay. I'm fine. I have a tie. I'm preaching from here. I have a Bible. I have a suit. I'm coming to a church. I'm not like those out there that are not coming to the church. I'm good. I'm even coming to a church that worships on Sabbath. So I'm good. I'm good, good. I even sing with my kids up here up front. So I'm good, good. That is how Laodicea thinks. Because we compare ourselves with whom? With people out there. But who is the only one that we can compare ourselves to? Jesus. Jesus. And when I compare myself to Jesus, I said, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me. I need your grace. I need your help because I'm in bad shape. When I see how Jesus would pray nights, have mercy. Oh, Father, have mercy on me. Then I understand, wow, I'm a Laodicean. I'm actually not preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself. I'm in bad shape. I need Jesus today. I need His grace. I need His grace not only to forgive me, but to transform me, to change me, and to make me more like Jesus. What do you say? We are to give the last warning of God to man. And it should be our earnestness in studying the Bible and our zeal in spreading the light. Let every soul who has received the divine illumination seek to impart it. Let the workers go from house to house, opening the Bible to the people, circulating publications, literature, telling others of the light that has blessed their own souls. Are you blessed by the light? How many, just raise your hands, how many of you have been blessed by the light, which is truth, by the truth? Have you been blessed by the truth? What are some practical blessings of the truth? For example, we believe, you and I believe, that the Bible presents the Sabbath as the day of rest. Is that right? Is that a blessing? With my personality, I'm a personality type A. What does a personality type A do? They work how much? 7 days a week. I push the limits, always push the limits of my body and of what I can do. I push the limits. So if there was no Sabbath, I would not spend time with my family. I would not just stop and change pace. Sabbath is a great blessing to me. That's a time when I can get closer with my kids, with my wife, where we spend an entire day together. Sabbath is a foretaste of heaven for us because we go and visit nature. We have been blessed by the truth. You and I, we have the health message. We knew it for so long. It's so hard for us to practice it, isn't it? My weak point and spot is sleeping hours. I just can't get to those 7 hours. I just can't. Because I wake up at 3 a.m. and that's it. The sleep is gone. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to roll. God has given you and I the precious light about health. And now the world has discovered that actually having a good immune system is actually something very good for you. And we should all be concentrated in building up our immune system. You and I have known this for a long, long time. But the world didn't pay attention to this, so we were tempted to pay attention to that. Tempted to not pay attention to that. Now the world is shifting that way, and finally us as Adventists say, oh, so actually the 8 natural remedies of, natural remedies that we have in the spirit process, those are actually, the world is actually talking about them now. The scientists are picking up on those, so we should probably join as well. Shame on us. Shame on me. Why do we have to wait for the scientist to talk about the stuff when we have God speaking to us through his prophet saying, do this and you'll do well? I'm pretty sure that you guys are doing well in that, in everything. It's my problem. So I'm talking about me. I'm pretty sure people in San Jose here in this church, you guys are doing well. So if that offends you, that's not for you, that's for me. That's for me because that's my problem. So God says, if you have been blessed by the light, share it. Let me ask you, without raising your hand, how many last week, how many people have been impacted by the three angels' messages from your lips? How many people have discovered the truth about God from your lips? How many people actually said, wow, you know what? I never thought about that. That's so powerful. It comes straight from the Bible. Wow. We are fast approaching the end. The printing and circulation of the books and papers that contain the truth for this time are to be our work. Why? Why books? Because some of us, you and I, we can be shy to share with others. And we say, I just don't know enough of the Bible to start sharing with somebody because they'll start asking questions and I don't have answers and I'll be embarrassed. So I better just keep the distance and that's fine. The book, you just give it to someone and say, this is a gift for you. It has blessed my life. This is a gift for you. That's it. I even tell people, if you want to distribute or if you're afraid to distribute literature, go to your neighborhood, leave the book at the door. Brother, am I causing trouble by walking back and forth? Am I causing trouble for people online? I have to stick here. It's so hard for me to stay here, but I'll have to do that. So if you're afraid to talk to people, leave the book at the door and run. Run as quick as you can. And if somebody opens the door and says, what's this? Just tell them, it's your gift, and run. That's it. It's easy. Just leave the book there and walk away. The book is of no use in your home because you already read it. I mean, if you read it, that's of use. But if you have 100 books in your home, they are of no use. But if you leave those books at somebody's door, guess in whose hands that book is now? In God's hands. And God takes care, good care of His truth. God will impress, and we know that the books will be on the shelves for 20, 30 years without being read. But there will come a moment when the Holy Spirit will impress the person, and the person will take that book, read it, be converted. Is it worth distributing 148 million books for the entire North America? Is it worth, if only one person would be saved because of all of this movement, is it worth it? And you say, yes. I say yes too. But imagine if that one person is your son or your daughter. Is it worth it now? Oh, a lot more. Just imagine every single person in North America is God's child. And God is desperately looking for ways to save people. And God has His instruments sitting here. Will we accept to sacrifice our comfort zone and step out of our comfort zone and do whatever it takes? For example, if you are on a ship and the ship is sinking, are you forced to go out of your comfort zone and jump into the water and save people? If you're in a safe boat, in a lifeboat, life-saving boat, and you see people around you and you can't reach them, are you forced to jump? And get? Is it nice to be in the cold water, maybe freezing water? No. Would you do it? Yes. I hope so. You would definitely do it if it would be your son or your daughter. You wouldn't think twice. You know, when Jesus lives in our hearts, we see everyone outside as our son or as our daughter. And when a person dies, we don't just say, well, just another person died. We're taking it so heavily on us that somebody else died without knowing Jesus. So then we get desperate and we say, Lord, I want to go to my entire city. I want everyone to know about you. Can you imagine if we would have a church full of members like that? On fire for the Lord. Let's keep going because the time is going away. I only have 11 minutes left. From the light given me of God, I know that the powers of darkness are working with intense energy from beneath. And with stealthy tread, Satan is advancing to take those who are now asleep. Lord, have mercy. As a wolf taking his prey. We have warnings now which we may give, a work now which we may do, but soon it will be more difficult than we can imagine. God help us to keep in channels of light, to work with our eyes fastened on whom? On Jesus, our leader, and patiently, perseveringly press on to gain the victory. What does it say? That Satan is preparing everything to make the work of warning others difficult. It says that it will be more difficult than you can imagine. And we understand a little bit about that, a little more about that now after COVID hit. We understand how quick everything can change. From one day to the other, everything changes. Can it happen again? Can it happen again? If you believe in the Bible, you know that this is only the beginning of it. It's like the woman that goes in the labor pain. Ladies, those who went through this, it's getting better, easier or harder as it goes to the moment. More intensity and more frequency. So what we are living now is just the beginning of the end. So it's never going to be easier than now. It's never going to be easier than now. Next year is going to be harder. Next month is going to be harder. Our time is when? Our time is now. Bill Gates warns that the next pandemic could be 10 times worse. And he could say, well, why should we trust him? I wouldn't either. But the guy said that there would be a pandemic. He said it in 2017, that the world should be preparing for a pandemic that's coming. And it came. So a lot of people are listening to him now and saying, wow, he's up to something. Either he knows something in advance, or he's just spot on with his visionary. And, you know, we don't know if it's going to be worse or not, but if we believe in the Bible, we know better, it's not going to be better. So, can you imagine how did the world react to the pandemic, COVID-19? Everything shut down. Can you imagine if something 10 times worse comes? Would you be allowed to go door to door? People, that when people are in fear, they're ready to give up any freedoms. When their life, when they think their lives are at stake, they're giving up all the freedoms. That's what people will do in this country. They will give up all their freedoms with intent to be saved from deadly whatever comes next. So your work and my work will be hindered, and we are told about that, that it will be harder than anyone can imagine. The work which the church has failed to do in time of peace and prosperity, she will have to do in a terrible crisis under most discouraging, forbidden circumstances. That's why last year, God has put on my heart one great controversy in every home in North America. Why great controversy? Why not a Bible? Because when I go door to door, I find that 99.5% of all people, they have more than one Bible in their homes. The sad situation is that they're not reading it. And even those that are reading it are confused. The Great Controversy is a powerful, powerful book. Why? Because it describes God's true character and Satan's true character. God's instruments and Satan's instruments. It shows you the entire panorama, where it came from, where we are, and where we are going. It shows you the entire thing. People need to know that. Now we come to our text. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having a great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. It's the earth in darkness today. Is our world in dark spot today? Yes, there's so much ignorance. People do not know the truth. So the earth is in darkness. But we have a promise that the angel will illuminate the earth with God's glory. What do you say to that? When I see this, I say, wow, a world in darkness will actually receive light. Everybody will receive light. Not that they will accept it, but they will have it. They will have access to the light. We have to skip this because of time. It's very interesting, though. If you can, read it at home. Look what this angel does. The message of this angel that comes and illuminates the world. Actually, the angel talks about Babylon. And then in verse 4, it says, come out of her, my people. So this angel that illuminates the earth, it's not a message, a soft message. It's actually a hard message denouncing Babylon. What's Babylon? Confusion. This angel will denounce a confusion. That's why I'm so passionate about the Great Controversy, because it denounces a confusion. It shows God and his true character. It shows Satan and how he tries to confuse people. It shows everything. It's amazing. So it's a... Anyway, the great outpouring of the Spirit of God, which lightens the whole earth with his glory. Listen, because here we have the recipe. Which enlightens the whole earth with his glory will not come until we have an enlightened people. Which people? Enlightened people. Us as a church, we need to be enlightened by God. That know by experience what it means to be what? laborers together with God. Let me ask you, are you 100% sure that you're a laborer together with God? Did this past week God was free to use you in whatever way? You just said, Lord, every day what you want, I'll do. I hope you and I will do this today. We'll say, Lord, whatever you want, not only today, but every day of this week, I want to be a laborer together with you, even if it's uncomfortable for me. When we have entire wholehearted consecration to the service of Christ, I like this word, wholehearted, to the service of Christ, God will recognize the fact by what? By an outpouring of His Spirit without measure. But this will not be while the largest portion of the church are not laborers together with God. Do you understand that this church, if this was everyone in this church, if there were no other members, it says that the outpouring of the Spirit will not come upon us. You can pray all you want about the Holy Spirit. It will not come on us as a body until the largest portion of the church will not be a laborer together with God. So there is a process that God is trying to lead His church to. To lead His church in what? United front, united action for others, to be laborers together with God. When we follow plans of the Lord's devising, we are laborers together with God. So not our own plans. We have so many human-made plans for evangelism. We have so many plans. Well, let's do this, let's do this, let's... So many human plans. But we have divine plans. Where do we find those? In the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy. Many people say, why do we need Spirit of Prophecy? Bible is enough. The Bible is enough. The Bible would be enough if we would read it well enough. But because God saw that us as people, we are Laodiceans. And how are Laodiceans described? They're having a problem with what? Eyesight. You're blind, it says. Laodicean, if a blind person grabs a Bible and starts reading it, and it reads one word well, and then two words, it gets it wrong. What do they understand of the Bible? They make their own religion. So nothing is wrong with the Bible. That's why the problem is not in the Bible. God had to give the Spirit of Prophecy, not because something is missing in the Bible, but because of what? Because you look at the Bible, God's people look at the Bible, and they don't understand what they need to do. So God gave His church what? A lens, magnifying glass. And now I look at the Bible and I say, wow, I have never seen this. So the Spirit of Prophecy is the magnifying glass. It doesn't add, it doesn't subtract from the Bible. It just makes it all readable. And now you read it and you say, oh, I was supposed to do this and I was not doing it. Or, God has promised these blessings on me and I did not receive it. The Spirit of Prophecy has been such a blessing in my life. I have noticed one thing, that those who follow, not fanatically, faithfully, the counsel that God has given us in the Spirit of Prophecy, they succeed in life. They succeed in raising their children. They succeed because we have instructions on where we should be living and where we should not be living. We have instructions on what we should eat and what we should not eat. We have instructions on what, where to work and what not to work. We have instructions of how to do mission work. But so many times we put those aside and we said, I have a better idea. Why don't we do this? And we get into this. We're more than 170 years here in the world as Seventh-day Adventist Church, and go in San Jose downtown and ask, what do you know about Seventh-day Adventist Church? How many people will tell you exactly what the Seventh-day Adventist Church believes in or is there for? Or people will say, a seventh what? Do you understand me? How many churches are here? About more than 10. My brother and I, we were trying to count. I was looking around 10 churches in San Jose and the area around here. Enough members to make a huge impact on this city. God help us to wake up and to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Let me just wrap it up. So the book for this time I have shared with you already. Look what Ellen White says. The great controversy should be very widely circulated. It contains the story of the past, the present, and the future. In its outline of the closing scenes of the Earth's history, it bears a powerful testimony in behalf of the truth. I'm more anxious to see a wide circulation of this book than of any others that I have written. For in the great controversy, the last message of warning to the world is given more distinctly than in any of my other books. Does the world need a warning? Did God prepare a warning for the world? Let's watch this video here, and we are very close to finish.
About 40 years ago, I was living up in the mountains, 17 years old. I'd been searching for the purpose of life, been through a number of different religions, and I was an avid reader, but I was more confused than ever. And then a friend gave me a book called The Great Controversy. And when I saw it, frankly, it was a pretty big book. It was like 600 plus pages. But I thought, well, that's an interesting title. So I started to read it. And I'll tell you, as I was reading that book, I thought, I've never read anything quite like this that makes more sense. And it was taking me through the battle between good and evil and why there is evil in the world. And if God is good and if God is loving and if God is just, then why does he allow evil? Where did it come from? And it all started making perfect sense. That book actually changed my life. Took me a little while to read it, but I could never be the same person afterward. I strongly recommend it. My name is Doug Batchelor, and The Great Controversy changed my life.
One person converted by that book, Doug Batchelor. Another person who was converted by that book, John Bradshaw of It Is Written. He read The Great Controversy, was converted. But listen to what it says here. Before we go, listen to what it says here. Let me just... More than 1,000 will soon be converted. In how long? In one day, most of whom will trace their first convictions to the reading of our publications. More than 1,000 in one day! And most of them will trace their first conviction to what? To the reading of our publications. Let me ask you, is it worth investing your time, investing your efforts to share that book with the neighbors, with this city? There are 345,000 households here in San Jose. Does it sound a lot? Between the 10 churches, it's 35,000 each. Is that more possible? How many members here? Divide 35,000 households, divide on the quantity of members, and divide that in 6 years, in 5 years. How many a year? That's nothing. If we divide it and we're all involved, we can do that very quickly. Let's watch the last video and then we'll end the sermon. I'm sorry, wrong way. Oops. I think space, if you touch space on the video, it should start. Oops. At the bottom
there.
There's no satisfaction that anything else can give you, like going door to door and seeing people's lives change. And I've heard so many stories of people coming years and years later saying that they, you know, remember somebody knocking on the door, leaving them a book, and that's why they're in the church today.
I don't think there is any other greater joy. You know, some people think joy is going to Disneyland and going on a ride, and they feel this exhilaration, but it fades off. There's really no joy. This is a kind of a joy that it not only gives it to you at the moment when you're interacting with the people, but it never fades away.
One great controversy in every home in North America by 2026. We believe that with God's help and with your involvement, this project can be accomplished. So sign up today on our website, streamsoflight.net, and let's have this mission done by 2026 together.
I'm over time, so I believe this is my last time in this church. You'll say never again. So let me take advantage of my last time and let me read one last Bible verse. God is inviting this church and says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the light that you have given us. Oh, Father, you have given us so much truth. We are so blessed by it. Father, we are so blessed to be a part of the plan of salvation. We have benefited from this. We are benefiting from what Jesus has done on the cross. But Father, in your plan of salvation, now you see that those who have been saved by you will be channels of salvation for others. What an amazing plan. Oh, Father, you know that Satan tries to magnify fears in us. We are terrified of going and knocking on someone's door. We think what they would think about us. Oh, Father, let us only think what you think about us. Father, the world is in darkness and the world is fast going to its perdition. And now is the time to warn and to show them a loving Savior. To show them the truth, because only in the truth we can have freedom. This country was a symbol of freedom for a long, long time. But this country slowly has parted from the truth. Father, us as a church, you have given us access to the truth, which is Jesus. And you have asked us to share the truth with others so that others would be free in you. Oh Lord, may the spark of your spirit be sparked in this church. And may someone, just one person, would be here in this church that would say, we need to do something about this. We need to be involved. And we'll start moving like Sister Marie Saylor there in Shafter. And that entire church caught up the vision. And they have covered the entire city with the book. Now Bakersfield is trying to cover those 100,000 households. Lord, may San Jose be on fire for you. Oh, Father, thank you for having us as worthy to do your work. What a privilege. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen.